There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
That's not going to be tough to do a 13-minute podcast.
In an hour, we have an hour to do it, though. So we'll squeeze it in.
Your mama's got an hour to do it. Whoa. On my bowls.
Whoa, buddy. Take it easy.
I'm your daddy now.
Are you? Well, then buy me a car.
Listen, Ben, things have been really like tight around the house.
Yeah, are they tight?
We can't afford to with mom getting caught in the windmill and Davey getting caught in the windmill.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
so much stuff that I got to spend money on. Can't get you a car this winter season.
Well, you're definitely wasting
season.
All my money on windmills, apparently. So
absolutely.
Thank you for that. I don't need to go to college, Dad.
The entire squash crop died.
The squash crop?
The squash crop. That's a lot more
well,
difficult
it looks like
to
you have
say.
Some squash on your chin there, Papa. You got drunk and went squashing again. Huh?
Yeah. I look
for
they
eat
pussies.
Them like pussies. Yeah. Ooh, do we share the same brain? All right, that's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. We got my father with me today.
Yeah,
this is really
man,
nice. I haven't talked to my dad in so long.
It's Ben.
So, yeah.
You're a lot taller than I thought you were going to end up being.
Yeah.
So big, so tall. How's the weather up there?
Well, it's about the same as it is down there.
Yeah,
that's nice, though. Thank you.
Yeah.
I always love that one.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Am I in hell right now?
No, you're not.
Did I die and go to hell? Is that why I'm in this stinky room in the middle of the worst part of Queens?
No.
It smells like bleach
you.
And ass in here.
No.
Is this hell?
No. There's no poison.
Your
in
mother's
that
ugly. I'm sick of it.
Oh, right. Well,
I'm
she was a sweet
sick
woman.
Sick of her pussy and I'm sick of her.
Well, from what I've heard, you didn't really touch her pussy that much at all, so that's fine.
That's fun. Yeah. It's fun to jump into different lives.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
well,
the power of being an actor.
That a thespian.
Oh, I put on a fireman's hat. I'm a fireman. I put on a fireman's jacket. I'm a fireman.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I can just play fireman.
Well, much like a husband eating his wife's vagina is an urban legend.
Yeah.
That is today's big subject. So for those that guessed it right on the Facebook page, you are today's big winner. Today's subject, urban legends.
Yeah, not Ben's bathroom mirror, which I thought was funny.
That was a funny joke. And then I got a lot of likes when I made a comment
about
the
I think we were going back and forth. I don't know who won on the likes.
It's not a competition. It's not.
It felt like one. I felt like I was winning for a while.
You know who won? Ben won.
That what? Ben Matt? Won. There we go. Thank you, Marcus.
Yeah, Ben won 10-9.
Ooh,
no
a
way.
Squeaker.
Yeah. No way.
I looked. I checked. I did vote for both of you, though.
Thank you, Marcus. And you know, the thing is, people don't even want to vote for me.
But
it was just such a better statement.
I voted for you.
I liked you. I liked yours as well. Anyway,
this is great.
Henry mentioned mirrors. And of course, what's one urban legend that involves mirrors? A very famous urban legend. It involves a lady named Mary?
Well, I will say this. Honestly, that was a big part of my childhood was how terrified I was of Bloody Mary.
Me
I remember
too.
Going through Catholic school, and I don't know if anyone else felt that, where it's like when you heard about this for the first time, I remember thinking I'd go in the bathroom and like think that I would sort of compulsively just do it, like jumping off a cliff or like doing it, like when you stand at the edge of a tall building. I thought I would just end up doing it.
Just jump. Yeah.
You don't do that when you go to the top of a building?
Oh, that's why I'm terrified of heights. It's not the height itself. It's the idea that I have no control over my life.
For some reason, I just feel like I'll just like fling myself off the side of the building.
It sounds like a super fun thing to do until you hit the ground.
For the first, 3 microseconds.
You know? Yeah, you're like, this is really free and liberating.
I believe I can fly.
Yeah, you're like, I think I'm going to go get that
boom.
Job.
Yeah.
I'm going to go tell my boss that I want the raise.
Yeah.
You know?
But Bloody Mary is very terrifying to me, and so... Yeah, I think this urban legends, especially because of the internet helps
That's
spread
right.
urban legends like fucking wildfire.
It's the internet and Catholic school.
Yeah.
Those are the two largest spreaders of urban legends.
And that's what's interesting about Bloody Mary is that Bloody Mary's origins are firmly rooted in the Catholic religion.
Absolutely.
Yes, they are. When I was in middle school, we used to go to the bathroom and do this on a regular basis, and people always used to see the mirror bleeding and things.
I always remember the first time, I'd heard a story of a kid named John McLaughlin that they said that it was like some rumor kid who was like 3 years older than us who saw Bloody Mary and ran out into the street, got hit by a car. Like it was like this like whole long story that happened for years and years. But like really brutal, visceral story. So let's jump into it. We have a bunch of urban legends to swim through, like a bunch of fucking
That's
Crisco
right.
in Wisconsin.
Ooh, well, yes.
Well, Bloody Mary has a couple of different variations on it. One of them you just say Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary.
That's right. Now this is the traditional.
Yeah, that's the traditional one. There's another one where you say Mary Worth. three times.
Mary Worth?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how you get a Butterfingers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It just shows up with like butterscotch candies.
Yeah.
Like, thank you, Mary Worth.
Well, it's not scary, but that's kind of cool, though.
I mean, I guess they take a long time to dissolve in your mouth, but hey, I guess that's fine.
Is Henry in there playing Mary Worth again?
Oh, you know I am, Mama.
Supposed to be it's a horror party, Henry.
I don't know, it's not a candy party. I see Mary Worth nine times in the mirror, and she comes out with a pint of maple syrup and pours it down my throat.
That's something.
But one of the most interesting ones is Bloody Mary, I've Got Your Baby. Which is one that I never knew about.
And I remember Bloody Mary, I've Got Your Baby.
Yeah, and that one has its roots in Queen Mary the First, who had a long series of miscarriages and stillborn babies.
And that's where the blood comes in.
That's where the blood comes in.
I see.
Yeah.
Right?
And and she was also known to be a big fucking, like, she just hated Protestants.
Yeah,
she
didn't like them. Her nickname was Bloody Mary because of how many Protestants she, like,
murdered.
Signed the murder.
I see. Yeah.
And because of the miscarriages and because she never actually had a successor, the Catholic line of succession ended with her, as did the prosecution of the Protestants.
Well, you know, that's got to be a tough thing for a lady to deal with. I mean, it's the only thing that a woman could really do back in the day was give birth to kids. I mean, it was a big claim to fame. It was a major process.
Like 33% of births ended in death of the mother and the baby or either one. So it's like it was also a dangerous procedure.
So it's a good way to kill your wife. You know, just knock her up in the Middle Ages.
Yeah, that's how it is. My semen's too strong. Makes
that's
the baby too big.
Yeah, exactly.
Another famous one that we have is known as the Beehive. And this one has been around forever. And just like a lot of these urban legends, a lot of people think they only came about the 50s, 60s, 70s.
Sure.
Of course, this one was big in the 50s when women had the tall beehive hair.
But I imagine it's also like it goes by a lot of these urban legends. I'm certain if you go back into ancient times, there are stories about reflections that have been going on forever. You know what I mean? Like even the idea of in the Greek myth where what's his name looked into the river and got caught in the river.
Narcissus.
Yeah. And like that's been forever, like
Luger, the pro wrestler. He was in the Greek myth, huh?
What was his theme song? It was like a real American.
Hulk Hogan.
I don't mean to mix up my Americans.
And not a narcissist. Hulk Hogan, not a narcissist.
No. He loves himself, but not that much.
He had a whole mania named after himself.
That's true. The Hulkamania.
And the version of the story that we know best of the beehive is the woman that had the long beehive. This is my favorite version. There's a ton of different versions. My favorite one is this woman had this long beehive, and one day she walks into a spider web. The spider lays eggs in her hair. Mm-hmm. One day she's in the middle of class. Blood starts trickling down her forehead. They take her to the hospital, and they found that the spiders have burrowed into her head and they hatched and started eating into her head. Another one says that in order for her to not wash it every night, she covered her hair in sugar water to harden it, and the next morning when her mother came to awaken her, her rats had gnawed through her skull. One does have roots in medieval times.
Oh, yeah?
This is what it would actually look like if you're friends with the rats and the squirrels and the birds, like Cinderella.
Yeah, like if you're Beauty and the Beast.
This is what it is. Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast.
Walt Disney character ever.
Yeah, basically you're just surrounded by wolves and rats and bears, and they're just about to eat you, but they happen to eat just enough squirrels that day to not fuck with you.
I have this version of the story.
By the way, Henry, that's your perfect woman right there.
What?
Wrapping her hair in sugar water.
I want to suck on them tendrils. I love a good long hair on a woman or short hair on a woman. What I say is put that sugar hair all over your butt. Put that sugar water all up in your belly button. Let me take a shot out of your belly button sugar water.
Yeah, well, I think you'll have a nice long relationship with her as long as sugar is always around.
Oh, yeah, light them up. Let's take a shot out of your button.
You're going to put sugar in her butt. All right, let's move on.
So this is the old version of the story. There is a sermon story of a certain lady of Aynesham in Oxfordshire who took so long over the adornment of her hair that
sounds like armpit farts, like over in fucking England.
Who took so long over the adornment of her hair that she used to arrive at church barely before the end of Mass. Mm. One day, the devil descended upon her head in the form of a spider, gripping with its legs, until she well nigh died of fright. Nothing would remove the offending insect, neither prayer nor exorcism nor holy water, until the local abbot displayed the holy sacrament before it.
Let's light a match next to it.
That's really interesting.
They're scared of fire.
I really think that there's also something to the where urban legends have their place in modern society is that they're it's like a fairy tale. It's modern day fairy tales because you blend it's cautionary tales blended with like things of the extreme or like
well, I mean, and they're as silly as peeing on the third rail, like the subway system and things like that. I love urban legends are really really fun.
Oh, you mean like Candyman?
Yeah,
which was invented by the movie.
Yeah, but it was a good legend. I mean, it's Bloody Mary.
Yeah,
but I remember one of the Candyman. First nights. By the way, Candyman very similar to Mary Worth.
Very similar. Mm-hmm. Well, I think again, there's a lot of fixation of people being trapped in mirrors. I remember from the movie The Witches with a little girl that was trapped in the painting. Yeah. They used to scare the shit out of me.
Isn't that also the one where the little girl gets turned into the rat?
Yeah,
God, that movie's terrifying.
I didn't see that one.
That's stuff that really makes me feel weird. Yeah, and that weird childhood shit. Makes me feel really strange.
Oh, yeah. Well, in modern times, urban legends are often rooted in certain, like, real stories.
Like, here, like, this is a real story I heard from a friend.
Yeah, yeah, this is a real story. Or sometimes these things are actually reported in newspapers. Mm-hmm. But when you actually go and try to look, as we'll see later on with one of our other stories, that when you actually try to dig deep into it and find actual police records of this stuff, nothing exists.
Right.
Like it's a lot like I can give a very recent example out of North Korea. That that whole story that we got where they said that Kim Jong-un fed his uncle to wild dogs.
Right. It's kind of like the Hunter S. Thompson thing of saying something that's more extreme than the truth that actually reflects something that's even deeper. Yeah. Which is the idea that, like, I mean, his uncle was essentially dog food. It's like he got murdered because he didn't clap hard enough at his birthday ceremony or whatever.
I mean, you have to clap pretty hard for the Kim Jong-un. Everybody knows it.
I know. You got to put on a smile. You got to dance.
He respects it.
You know what I mean? I did a Time Warner Cable commercial, dress up as a hobbit. And you have to go in there and you have to go, when secondsies? You know, like, I hate that bullshit.
No, it's not good to
but
do.
But you got
to
do it.
You have to do it.
For cash.
Do you want to work or do you want to be fed to dogs?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll be dog food. So this is a story that I heard back in college. I think it's really interesting that it's a really, you tell me whether or not it's true.
Okay. Okay, get it out. He had, by the way, Henry literally, ate one of his infamous bacon bacon butter muffins?
Ugh.
What is that today?
A bacon corn muffin.
And you didn't like it the first time you ate it.
It's like eating a spicy sponge.
It's not good. I don't know why you keep on ordering it.
I was hungry.
I know, but there's
I told
other
you
food.
Why I ordered it. Because I only had $5.50.
You got
to
get some,
I didn't have $6 to get the croissant.
All right.
All right?
You might need to audition a little bit harder for those Time Warner ads. $5.50. All right. Anyway, so what's this true story?
So I had a friend named Julie in college who was always going out with the boys.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? She was like very, let's say fun.
Yeah,
you could call her
a bit of a her.
But you would say, actually, she's just very fun. Mm-hmm. And I had my other friend named Meg, who was kind of a nerd, and they were like talking. Basically, one got invited to this party of this hot new freshman football player, this guy at Florida State.
That's
I think it was
right.
a Jamies Wilson.
Jamies Wilson.
So we know what happened to her.
Yeah. It's Jameis Winston, which you're trying to say. He was not charged.
Great football player. Great rapist.
He was not. He's not a rapist. So let's just clear his name here.
So Meg had pretty much no interest in going to this party. And
well, she had a midterm the next time.
She had a really big midterm. Yeah, I told you the story. Julie, after the entire period of flirting with us, like Julie was just like not ready for that midterm. They were all
ready
to go.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Meg was completely prepared for a major study.
So Julie went out
books.
To the Julie went
Julie
out
went
party.
Out to the party, of course.
And Meg was her roommate.
Meg was her roommate.
She was blowing
I told
all
you
the
story. I told you the story.
Yeah, now we're trying to tell the audience the story.
You know, so at the end of the day. You know, Julie spent hours she got ready for this party while Meg started studying. Now, Julie tried to get Meg to go, but Meg is being a bit of a bitch. And she's not the horror that Julie is, right?
Well, I need to study.
But she was insisted that she would study and she's going to pass the test. You know, the girls were rather close and Julie didn't like leaving Meg alone to be bored while she was out having a blast, a fucking semen blast.
If she's anything like Jennifer, what is that? I watched that Linda Lovelace movie. I didn't realize Deep Throat, she had a clitoris in her throat. That's the whole point. Anyway, so Julie perhaps, let's say she has a clitoris in her throat.
Yeah. Julie finally gave up using an excuse that she would cram in homeroom the next day. Another term for sex with her.
Yes.
Julie went to the party and she had the time of her life with her date.
Baby, I'm going to cram it in your homeroom.
She headed back to the dorm around 2 a.m. and decided not to wake Meg.
That's right.
Yeah.
She has a midterm, you know, she's studying.
Because Meg can be a real meow when you wake her up.
I'm like, I've got to study. I've got to kiss. Yum, 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 yum.
Right. We all know that, Meg.
Yeah, or... boobs turned into giant beetles.
Oh, I didn't
really
realize.
Weird.
Yeah.
She once a bit nervous about the midterms. She decided she'd wake up early to ask Meg for help.
Sure.
You know?
Typical, though. You know, typical non-studier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is true. Now, this is where it gets really fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
She woke up and she went to wake Meg. She told me this.
Mm-hmm. So you're not reading that off your phone?
Nope.
No,
this is a story.
Not.
Okay.
Yeah,
tell
by,
a story.
By the way, your storytelling cadence is very natural.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. This is, everyone's buying this.
Yep. Meg was lying on
What was Meg's
stomach.
Last name?
Bill Kirsten.
Meg Bill Kirsten.
Meg Bill
Kirsten.
We're
really close
This is
friends.
Totally true.
Yeah, it's Bill like you're Kirsten. Reading without any emotion.
Meg
so
Bill Kirsten.
Yeah, okay, Bill Kirsten. Yeah.
Apparently, Meg was sound asleep when Julie woke up, apparently.
Right. Yeah.
Julie rolled Meg over to reveal Meg's terrified face. Julie, concerned, turned on the desk lamp. Had it in there. I remember looking at it. It was silver.
Oh, yeah. It was. Okay.
Do they not have any windows in this room?
Nope.
No windows.
No,
interesting.
No,
like the
no,
sun,
no.
The morning sun
no,
could come
absolutely
in
not.
And you could see.
Absolutely
seems
not.
Wild.
Meg's study stuff was still open and had blood all over it.
Uh-oh.
Meg had been slaughtered, I heard. Julie, in horror, fell to the floor and looked up to see written on the wall in Meg's blood, "Aren't you glad you didn't turn on the lights?" That's scary stuff, and it's real, and it happened at Florida State University.
I agree.
2001.
I mean, really, she eventually turned on the lights. The
she did.
Lamp.
Yes.
Yeah, she,
but
she
then
did
she do. Saw the words, you know, "Aren't you happy you didn't turn on the lights the night before?" Because theoretically, the guy was in bed with
yeah,
Meg.
Yeah, she rolled right in there, going like, oh, all sore.
Yeah,
like,
cramming
all
it in
kind
her
of
home
falling
room.
Out of her vagina, going like, yeah. Oh, I leak. And then she goes, because she was Asian.
Oh, was she? Oh, you didn't mention that.
Yeah, Julie
Bill
was
Kirsten,
Asian.
Bill Kirsten, not a traditional
no, Meg
Asian.
Bill Kirsten.
Meg Bill Kirsten.
Oh, that was Julie Yakimoto.
Oh, Yakimoto. So she was a stereotypical
So that is
Asian.
An urban legend that's entirely real. So busted that wide open.
I mean, you know, dorm room drama. First of all, the moral of the story is go party, have a good time, blow some dudes. And,
every single time.
Yeah.
Never choose to just sit at home and study because the other, because serial killers are nerds too.
That's
and
right.
They hang out.
And you know what they're studying? You studying. And as soon as you put those books down, you're a goner.
And they're
going
to, because they're going to get an A in the exam of turning your fucking vagina into a puppet hole.
That's right. That's, I don't know what university they're going to, but somebody.
Florida State University.
Florida State. And of course, you know, this is real to the extent that, you know, you have a Ted Bundy like character, of course.
It did
FSU.
Happen.
I mean,
it
murders in
time.
Dorm rooms happen on a regular basis.
Well,
so these are good warning tales. I mean, that's the
it's all
whole point of these.
A lot of them are cautionary tales. Yeah.
Go out and have a good time, people.
And but these are just some. But I've heard that story 90 different ways.
Everyone.
And
has.
It's like, it's a very famous, scary story. But what I think the difference, because I was like, same thing, was like, what's the difference between urban legends and creepypasta?
Yeah.
Is the fact that urban legends is about you learning something. It's about the lesson. It's about, like, you know.
And then creepypasta
it's true.
Is
like,
all
honestly,
about.
Are you glad you didn't turn on the light? Is like, YOLO. Like, that's like what it's you're supposed to learn is that you go out and have a good time.
Go out and have a good time. When you come back, just go to sleep in the dark.
Yeah, go to sleep in the dark.
You know, don't. Certainly not underneath a black light. Covered in semen. Covered in shame.
You get blinded by a dorm room with that black light.
You'll learn a lot from these stories. Creepypastas, they're more cliffhangers.
Yeah.
Such as the greatest cliffhanger of all time, who is Phone.
I don't
who
know
is,
who Phone was, and,
we will
and I never
know.
Will.
No. Exactly.
And I don't
want to
know.
I don't want to.
It's like a cone. It's like a Buddhist cone.
Out of all the creepy, like, the Who is Phone creepypasta is the closest thing to the end of the television show The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Just goes to dark. I don't want to know if he lives. I mean, we know he dies in Italy after having a large meal.
Of course.
Isn't that weird that Tony Soprano and James Gandolfini has the perfect Tony Soprano death?
Yeah, of course.
Just died in Italy after huge amounts of wine.
Yeah, he lived
and
the
meat.
Character.
Yeah. He just did it. So, anyway, yes.
So what we said earlier about these urban legends having some root in truth or actually being reported in the news.
Yeah.
We have one that was reported in the news twice in Fairfax, Virginia. I'm going to read you this bulletin that came out in 1973.
Ooh, yeah. Very exciting.
Fairfax County Police said yesterday they're looking for a man who likes to wear a white bunny rabbit costume and throw hatchets through car windows.
Hell yeah.
Air Force Academy amazing. Cadet Robert Bennett told police that shortly after midnight last Sunday, he and his fiance were sitting in a car in the 5400 block of Guinea Road when a man dressed in a white suit...
I'm sorry, what was the road?
Guinea Road.
It was Guinea Road?
Guinea Road.
Guinea Road. Okay.
Guinea Road.
You being racist?
No, the road is racist. I'm not racist.
When a man dressed in a white suit with long bunny ears ran from the nearby bushes and shouted, "You're on private property, and I have your tag number." The rabbit threw a wooden-handled hatchet through the right front car window. The first-year cadet told police, as soon as he threw the hatchet, the rabbit skipped off into the night, police said. Bennett and his fiancé were not injured. Police say they have the hatchet, but no other clues in the case. They say Bennett was visiting an uncle who lived across the street from the spot where the car was parked. The cadet was in the area to attend last weekend's Air Force-Navy football game. And this introduces us to a wonderful urban legend out of Fairfax, Virginia, the Bunny Man.
He's all over the South, all over, like a lot of the Eastern Seaboard. Yeah. There's a lot of Bunny Man talk. And I think that you'll see that, and too, where a lot of these stories are regional.
It goes today, right? The Bunny Man is theoretically born in 1973, and people still report the Bunny Man today?
Well, but the Bunny Man did start in the early 70s, and it's still, I mean, by the 80s, it kind of reached its apex, but it's one of those that still goes to this day.
I hear about it all the time, and it's because, like, the Bunny Man Bridge is very important, where they say there's, like, this one bridge in Virginia where you drive past, and oftentimes you'll see a bunny man dressed in a bunny suit with an axe next to it, which is just, like, the scariest crime outfit.
It's adorable, though. It's adorable stuff.
Sorta. But it's just like, I guess it's like, it could be, I always like think about that. Is it scarier to dress up like in a big wolfman costume and do weird shit?
No.
Or is it scarier to dress up like a big bunny and do shit? But I think it's what your face looks like outside of the bunny costume.
Yeah.
If you have like a long, grizzled gray beard, bloodshot eyes, and a fucking bunny man costume on, you're going to be pretty creepy.
Right, right.
You know, if you're going to be a hot, sexy young woman in there. It's a little sexy.
A hot, sexy bunny woman throwing hatchets through your car window.
Throw a hatchet through my car window.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're putting things up my butt, but it just means I'm ready to be with you.
So throwing hatchets through your window is code for anal sex and cramming in the homeroom. That's just your traditional vaginal sex. Okay, we're learning a lot today.
We're learning today.
There's always a C storyline for our episodes.
But there's a lot of story. Like, the Bunny Man is said to be responsible for the deaths of up to 2 disobedient children in the Clifton, New Jersey area.
Behave.
Which is, like, again, a perfect way to use a cautionary tale of just, like, having... Like, I've never had that. I always wanted to have that as a kid, where it's like my grandfather, like, grip you by the knee and just go like, "You better be good in returns. Oh, the Bunny Man's gonna come and get you."
You don't want that.
No, I want it, though.
No, you don't. Didn't, because I had one when I was a kid, and it fucking terrified
me. What was it?
The La Chusa.
The La Chusa? Where are you from? Argentina?
I had no idea.
But I grew up in a town with a really high number of Mexican immigrants.
Yes.
And the La Chusa, they said if you lied, I think I've talked about this before, but if you lied to anyone, the La Chusa, which is a bird with the head of a woman, would come and stand on the foot of your bed at night and scream at you.
That is just an elderly man talking about the wife he's hated for 30 years. That is such a male made up, and it just screams at you about the dishes, and I don't know why we don't have a new car.
Yeah, I'll take out the trash in the morning when I got pants on.
They're not picking up the garbage till 9 a.m. anyway, so it doesn't matter if it goes out at midnight, so... Squawking and squawking and squawking. I tell you, she's getting wings like a fucking bird.
I gotta say, the La Chusa sounds pretty scary.
It does sound very scary. Yeah. That's true. That's very, very true. But your father was with the NYPD, so you pretty much had the biggest boogeyman.
Yeah. They had real stuff to be concerned. No, my grandmother used to just tell me and be like, "Oh, Henry Thomas, you're gonna eat chocolate. Chocolate's gonna give you a heart attack."
that's
that was what she did.
That's actually true, though.
But she didn't know then that dark chocolate has antioxidants.
Yes, well, not when you eat it by the fucking gallon.
Absolutely, yeah, when I eat it by the fucking cylinder. Because that's what America runs on, chocolate.
That's right.
So that's like one thing that was like so these deaths of children in the Clifton, New Jersey area were pinned on up somebody they said was wearing a bunny suit.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was like there was a local hermit that they said was like dressed in a bunny suit. I forget where this was. They're saying an escaped mental asylum inmate.
The thing about the Bunny Man, I mean, this could be real. Anyone who wants to go throw axes through somebody's window could just put a bunny suit on to do it.
Yeah,
that's
could
the kind
be,
of fun and, one about this.
And this one, the insane asylum thing also has a paranormal aspect to it because it's said that he escaped from the mental asylum in 1904.
So he's just been there forever.
Yeah, he's just a spirit that's always been there come in and just get you. He's a boogeyman.
You know what they got to do on these mental asylums? Because I feel like a lot of people escape from them. They just got to get those rotating doors. Because if you're mentally insane, you just go around and around and around. toddling around, they'll just catch you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They'll
yeah,
never, they'll never be able to get out.
Yeah, because you keep showing up waiting for lunchtime.
Yeah, that's outside. That's inside. Outside, inside. Outside,
inside.
When
do I get my mush? When do I get my mush?
You want your mush? You got to come inside. You got to come inside. You want a mush?
I'm pretty addicted to mush. Huh?
Come in, damn. Yeah. But then there's like, yeah, then that's, they said here too, you have the, you have put this together, the Clifton Bunny Man. What is this? Castle Spirits thing?
It also sounds like the worst DJ in Clifton, New Jersey. Yeah, yeah, I'm the Bunny Man.
The inmate story came from a website called Castle of Spirits around 1999. And he told the story about the inmate escaping from the insane asylum. And he escaped with another guy named Marcus Walster. He killed Marcus Walster and then eventually became the Bunny Man.
Sure, absolutely. That's a great person to pin it on.
And that's another aspect of urban legends, is that they're not usually that detailed. They're usually able to be told pretty quickly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, there's a lot of missing pieces, because you say it's like, he killed his fellow inmate and then eventually became the Bunny Man. Why did he become the Bunny Man?
Yeah.
Where did he find the bunny suit?
Bunny Man.
The horrifying process of becoming a Bunny Man.
Yeah. He's just, he just loved a hippity and it happened.
I would actually really enjoy to see this in a very gruesome You're Next. Maybe the guys who made You're Next, or Hail Henry, perhaps you and I can write it.
Just an actual
guy stapling the bunny suit to him, just full of blood.
Here comes Peter Cotton's tail, up and down the bunny trail.
And girls come like, Brad, is that you? Stop singing it. Bad song,
hey,
Brad.
Hey, what's up, honey? How are you? I just got here.
Brad, I thought you were...
No! In fact, nothing's more emasculating than being killed by a man in a bunny suit.
Yeah.
That's bad.
God.
You got any carrots? What's up, Doc?
The catchphrases are going to be great.
Yeah, we got this.
Well, the first story that I read, the first news story, was not the only news story about the Bunny Man. For the Bunny Man reappeared, a man wearing a furry rabbit suit with two long ears appeared again on Guinea Road in Fairfax County Thursday night.
But he was just a lost furry.
Yeah,
what do they call it? A furry?
Furry, yeah.
This time wielding an axe and chopping away at a roof support on a new house. This was only 2 weeks after the last incident. Paul Phillips, a private security guard for a construction company, said he saw the rabbit standing on the front porch of a new but unoccupied house. Hmm. Phillips said, I started talking to him, and that's when he started chopping. All you people trespass around here, Phillips said the rabbit told him as he whacked 8 gashes in the pole.
A lot of trespassing shit.
Yeah. No, Bunny Man is all about trespassing. If you don't get out of here, I'm going to bust you in the head.
So there's a good chance he's drunk.
But the big thing is that he's just being comfortable. I don't know how many times it's like, what do I wear when I'm in my house?
Right.
I got my velour pantsuit that Jackie bought me that says Chaos Reigns on the back of it, with a giant fox in the back of it. And that's what I wear.
Sure. That's what makes you feel comfortable.
Sometimes nothing at all. Sometimes I'm totally nude. And if you come into my house, maybe you'll start seeing the nude man of Mauser Street.
The nude man.
Me just going like, where are you, my Thai food? Yeah, you're not my Thai food. Someone better show up with my Thai food or I'm going to start busting some heads.
The nude man of Mauser Street is the most terrifying urban legend I've ever heard in my life. And it just got created.
But if you
the nude man of Mauser Street, even though he's nude, you can't see his penis. Oh, my.
I've got that ginger bush hair. It makes it seem like it's all aflame.
And in the middle of him was a flame, and a torso was on fire. The flaming crotch, nude man of Mauser Street.
Yeah, so there's a lot of... Are there any other stories connected to Bunny Man? There's a shit ton of them.
Those are the best ones that I was able to find. There are some murders around Fairfax, Virginia that people say contribute to the legend of the Bunny Man.
Well, I think it's the classic example of what we have with the Zodiac Killer, and they talk about it all the time, where it's like, that's the perfect place to do a crime then.
Yeah.
Same thing with happened with the Long Island serial killer. It's because there's all these like other conjecture happening. Like they believe it's the Bunny Man killing people, is that you can kill somebody and probably get away with it because they think it's the Bunny Man.
It's
the same
thing
with the Zodiac Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. If you are in desperate need to kill somebody, go to a place where everybody tends to get killed, and then you're going to just
dress up like Buck and Bigfoot and touch the woman.
Well, don't. Don't do that.
But these murders all occurred long before the legend of the Bunny Man came about. These are like murders that happened like 1918, 1949. I think if there's a place that just has a gruesome past, if it just, if you can put in, but you can also attach these stories to the Bunny Man. Like there was this little girl named Eva Roy who was murdered as she was watching her father's cows one night. She was found tied to a tree.
I watch cows. Yeah. I call them pre-hamburgers. Oh, suck on their udders.
Yeah.
Get that delicious milk.
Well, I don't think we're going to let you watch the cows anymore, Mr. Zabrowski. As a matter of fact, I called the police, and you're going to have to
go look at the pigs.
Okay. All right. Yeah, officer. Now he's looking at the pigs. Yeah, no, I'll stay on the line.
I'll pick them all, the best ones.
So she disappeared 24 hours later. They found her tied to a tree in the woods, her apron strings tied around her throat, and they never found her killer. There were a ton of suspects, but they never found the killer. We're never able to pin it on anyone.
There was so the old man who ran the amusement park.
Yeah, old man Jenkins. There's old man Hankins.
Gas station
old
guy.
Man Watson.
Mm.
Yeah, they're all ready to do it.
You know, I think we need to have a plan to get some more young men in the town, because I think we're all going to die soon.
Well, anytime you have a murdered child, especially an unsolved murder or a murdered baby, a dead baby, anything like that, that's where urban legends spring up, especially around bridges.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
What is it? I think that there is some sort of psycho-symbolic thing with bridges.
Something about it.
Because they talk about with dream interpretation. Like, water is always supposed to mean the soul. Like, it's whenever, like, you're in water or entering water, it's supposed to mean, like, you're entering either the soul or the unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something about bridges that is, if there is a connection to the symbol of water being that, like, it's like a bridge between worlds you hear all the time. You know, it's like the idea of, there's something magical to him. How many fairy tales happen at bridges.
So what does it mean then? Because I was just having this dream where my dad was just telling me I was a failure.
Hmm.
What does that dream mean?
You sure you just didn't want to listen to a voicemail?
Oh, that's right.
Woo!
Yeah.
Heard it down the house.
Oh, here we go. Bridges. Yes, bridges are a terrifying place. And a lot of people die on bridges.
Yeah, a lot of people
very
die on
icy.
Bridges. That, I mean, I knew there was a kid in high school. Yeah, there was a kid in high school. His dad, he was drunk.
Yeah.
And he just drove right off a bridge and he fucking died. I think another thing, the reason why we're afraid of bridges is because one of the earliest fairy tales that we hear is the Three Billy Goats Gruff.
Yeah.
You know, you
That's
have
right.
the troll under the bridge.
It's like, but the same thing is like there's also something involved that with caves.
Yeah.
Like caves, it's deep, dark. It's like what they were in the original fairy tales. The whole thing was the forest, the dark forest, everything that's unknown.
Yeah.
And then there's also, we want to talk about the Crybaby Bridge.
Of course, Crybaby bridges are huge. We had one where I grew up.
Yeah. It's all over the country. This idea of it's a phenomena of urban legend, basically say it's like a bridge that people say that if you drive down it or walk down it, you'll hear the sound of a baby crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they say it's connected to some sort of childhood death that happened there.
Well, there's one of the theories or one of the legends is that a family was driving across a flooded bridge. They didn't realize how flooded the bridge was. They had to abandon the car. And then as they abandoned the car, they forgot the kid.
Yikes.
And then the kid just sort
Kevin!
Of it was a real Home Alone situation. Which, by the way, I was thinking about Home Alone recently when I was watching the movie You're Next with Holden McNeely.
Why are you thinking of Home Alone while watching You're Next?
Because Home
totally
Alone
absorbed.
Is a horror movie.
Yeah,
the kid is being terrorized by these
strangers,
people, and they try to twist it like it's some sort of fun. A situation for a child to be in.
Yeah, it's fucking
it's
Purge
horrifying.
Night. It's the Purge, but with Christmas songs. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I remember the horror, the urban legend that was around my town. Of course, it was said that there was a house that was nearby in which devil worshippers were said to have their little covens, which we'll get to devil worshippers later.
Yeah.
So cool. I just want one.
Yeah, I know.
I know it.
But it was said that if you drove across this one bridge and you slowed down, that you would have a handprint on the back of your car.
I've heard that.
As you walk through. And in fact, I found another one that said if you poured baby powder on the hood, you would see the footprints of children. And
I
had a friend that said one night he was driving across the bridge and he heard like he was driving slow and he heard like a on the bed of his truck, and he hauled ass out of there. He drove over to the Alsips, stopped, got out, and looked at his car.
The Alsips family?
No, Alsips is a local convenience store.
Oh, okay. It's right next to the Gamunkel, which is a wonderful malt shop they have in Texas. Gamunkels?
Yeah. Sometimes Marcus forgets that not everyone is from Bumblefuck, Texas.
Yeah, sometimes. Every once in a while, I forget. But anyway, he got out of the car, and he looked on the bed of his truck, or on the tailgate of his truck, and there was a handprint back there.
That's
however,
great.
This guy was perpetually full of shit.
There's something to the meeting of the legend to your own brain and how magical the brain can be in making things reality.
Yeah.
And
if you do see a bunch of handprints on your car, like, go back, because you might have hit somebody. Like, go back to where you felt the handprint.
No, you never go back.
Well, I think there's maybe a person dying there.
Driving.
Depends on what morality you want to have there.
Put miles between you and the pigs, man. Get to Mexico. Go down, change your name to El Caracha. In fucking Pueblo, Mexico. Eat yourself some burritos. Have a nice young Mexican wife. You never go back to the States.
I mean, I just feel like you're getting your ideas of what being on the run is from the TV show Eastbound and Down, and I don't know if that's right. I think it's a more panicky situation.
Well, one of the other crybaby bridges that I found was called the Screaming Bridge of Maude Hughes Road.
You drive it.
Wow, this is the most annoying bridge I've ever been on.
Turn up the radio.
It's a site of a lot of terrible accidents, a lot of suicide. It's said that there are 36 people that have reported to have died on or around this bridge.
Where is the bridge?
This is in Butler County, Ohio.
Okay.
B-U-T-T-L-E-R.
All of our Ohio friends, if you want to go take a picture of this thing or something, or go hang out at the bridge, let us know what your experience is.
Please send it.
Yes. And there's railroad tracks below the bridge, for sometimes you can see a ghostly train coming through. You see mist, you see a black hooded figure. The legend says that a car carrying a man and a woman stalled on top of the bridge. The man got out to get help while the girl stayed. When the man returned, the girl was hanging on the bridge above the tracks.
And that
the
man was
then
Ted
supposedly
Kennedy.
Perished with unexplained causes.
The woman perished with unexplained causes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, the man, after he found the woman.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Possibly dying from fright.
This is another one cool.
Oh, man, I want to die from fright so bad.
It just seems like it's hard.
Yeah. It was on type 2 diabetes or fright.
I also like this one, too. The Egypt Road one from Salem.
I love this
one. You know, so this is the Egypt Road near Salem, Ohio. Is actually what used to be. It used to be called West Pine Lake Road. Mm. It dead ends into the east of the bridge. Legends attribute the crying baby to one that fell in and accidentally drowned. There's also a rumor that there was a cult of some sort in the woods surrounding the bridge. In 2011, there was a satanic ritual involving the murder or sacrifice of an elderly woman that was found burned to death in a cage on the bridge.
Okay.
The closed road remains as an access way to high voltage utility lines. The baby cries can be heard at night or during the day. And that's really fucking cool.
Yeah.
I mean, not cool. I mean, it's not cool.
It's interesting.
It's just fun that you can.
An old lady burned to death in a bridge in a fucking satanic ritual?
Woo!
Now that's an awesome urban legend.
And it's like, we were just trying to make beer elderly lady. We just stuck a beer can up her ass. Like beer chicken.
Like beer chicken, but it's an elderly lady. I understand where you're going with
that. Meat falls off the bone.
Which well, you throw a baby in the river, and if it drowns, it drowns. Otherwise, you got yourself a little Michael Phelps there, and you're going to have a real successful life. Subway commercials and whatnot, but it'll probably drown.
Yeah.
You know, let's be honest. But
and this story brings us to my personal favorite urban legends, devil worshippers.
Oh, these are the best.
If you grew up in the late 80s, early 90s in America, every single fucking town had a devil worshipper story. If only it was real. But there was always abandoned houses where people would say, like, that's where the devil worshippers go to do their sacraments. They sacrifice children. They sacrifice babies. And they all say, like, they sacrificed a child there, you know, 5-10 years ago. You know, my cousin, like, knew this kid that got sacrificed there. But, of course, nobody, like, if a kid actually got sacrificed in a satanic ritual in a small town,
that's great news. That was huge.
People would be talking about it every day for the next 20 years.
Well, the thing about the satanic cult, and Marcus brings it up, I think it was actually called the Satanic Panic, right?
Yeah,
it was like a coined thing.
Yeah.
And the West Memphis 3 got caught up in it.
I'll put it the same way. So, well, I mean, not to that story, but I remember I was just in Chicago and I went to go look of the Gacy house, and I spoke with a taxi driver, and I was going to try to go over to the Gacy house, and he's like, you're trying to see old Gacy house? And I was like, yeah. And he's just like, I won't take you there.
Wow. Yeah, they
so
won't
he didn't
go.
Take me. Yeah.
Isn't that something? I would assume that that happens kind of on a regular basis.
Oh, of course, yeah. You got a fat dude in there. I have my human centipede shirt on.
Oh,
I'm just
yeah.
Like, I'm just basically just being like, excuse me, I'd like to take a look at the historical place.
You want to see the fountain that was in Married with Children?
No, that's just important.
The Sears Tower. People like to look at the Sears Tower.
I want to see Gacy's house.
Oh, you want to see the Gacy house. Okay.
I want to see Gacy's place.
Well, you know what? This cab is free of charge if you just get out now. We're on the highway. Just roll down. That would be fine. Just roll on out of here like Walter in the Big Lebowski.
And I saw good old-fashioned... adventure mate Kiki out there who joined us in the Sam adventure.
Yeah, hello, wonderful. Kiki. How are you?
She's hello, Kiki.
Yeah, hello, Kiki. I hope you're enjoying Chicago. It's a beautiful city.
Yes, it is.
It's a big fat one.
Yes, it is.
I heard a great devil worshiper urban legend where someone said that there was a Satanist devil worshiping house in their neighborhood, and all the sidewalks in front of it were painted black. And there was an upside down cross painted on each of the supports. And there was a hearse always parked in the front of the house.
You know, there was a house that had a hearse in my hometown as well.
Yeah.
And it was our neighbor house. It was very scary.
Everybody, I did too. It's because it was a cheap car to buy.
That's right. I mean, that's what it is. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And so this Satanist house, they would always have one candle in the window, and you'd drive by with a group of your friends, you'd make the block, and as you drove by the house the second time, however many people were in the car with you, that number of candles would appear in the window.
It's like that CCR song. Keep a candle in the window?
Kind of like that. Sure. No, we had a person that my mom always affectionately referred to as the witch. That was a woman that she said did black magic that lived in a house. But I think it was just because like they were rivals in like the quilt guild, like running for president of the quilt guild.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like they were Democrats or something. Yeah, like, I don't know, we're a witch house. But the interesting thing about the satanic and devil worshiping stuff is it's not even so much the satanic or the devil worshippers themselves. They're just goofballs.
Yeah.
These are
our
friends painting their nails black. Going through a golf phase. But it's the Christian reaction to it that makes it super heavy and really gives it weight, because I remember growing up super evangelical and we would have full like shut in like 3 hour three day marathons about Satanism and witchcraft. Little did they know they were fighting a spiritual war.
Yeah, where it's like Satanists in real life were just hanging around topless, just eating crab salad, having a good time.
Yeah, just having an awesome fucking time.
Just be like these deviled eggs, like all the foods are like deviled with quotation marks.
If you want to know what
they are amazing.
Watch the movie The Sentinel. With the great movie, The Sentinel.
That's a great movie.
And, I love it.
What's her name? She's topless constantly in that movie. She's
Beverly D'Angelo.
D'Angelo.
Loving her.
Holy Lord.
I watched Rosemary's Baby again.
So good.
For like the fucking 15th time last night. Oh, it's great.
One day we'll be in a place with us with enough Last Podcast fans so we can all just join together in a big old house and like play techno music and cover each other in Vaseline and stuff like that.
Just roll around.
You know? That'll be a good time.
I would love to just go across a room but never lift my feet. That's what you can do with Vaseline. Ghost walk it. That would be great.
Another great urban legend concerning hell and Satanists. And there was a couple of these. I remember in Texas, there was one in a cemetery in Dallas-Fort Worth. They're known as... there was another one in Possum Kingdom, Lake Texas.
Possum Kingdom?
Yeah. Yeah, Possum... Oh, no, God, Possum Kingdom is... It's the greatest lake in all of America.
Sounds like a bunch of... possums having a fucking orgy underneath a garbage dump.
Terrible place to get a burger. It's just got a possum tail next to
Welcome
it.
Welcome to Possum Kingdom. So is this Angus beef? And you're like,
unnamed. Angus. You know what? That's funny because I actually named that possum Angus. So I guess it is Angus beef. That's a little joke. No, it's possum.
Yeah. It's 100% possum.
Guess what? 100% though. Or maybe like 98%.
I like it.
Good. You have to.
I'm sorry I tried to lie to you.
I don't even know why I did. It's the name of the fucking restaurant, so. So these are squash fries. Yeah, made out of pure Honduran squash.
Mm-hmm. So I heard of a great one in New Jersey. It's at near the town of York. It's the story of Toad Run Road.
Ooh, okay. Ooh.
Yeah. In the 1800s, there was a colossal mental asylum that stood in the woods because of its remote location. I mean, the motherfucker lit on fire. Oh. Firefighters couldn't get to it in time. A lot of the patients...
Because, like, crazy people just burst into flames.
Oh, yep, that happens. I heard
they're
that.
Highly flammable.
All covered in kerosene. All the time. A lot.
Do you like my aftershave? Like dumping gasoline all over himself. Let me call up my best friend, Dr. Seuss. Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop. You don't have a cell phone there, Andy. That's not a cell phone. That's a banana. Yeah. Excuse me. I'm on a call.
Banana phone.
Most of the inmates in the upper floors burned to death. The ones on the lower level, they let them all out rather than let them burn to death. But that's a nice. Lot of these people were, of course, criminally insane.
Again, you get a bunch of criminally sane in a group, they scatter.
Yeah,
they just scatter to the forest.
Yeah, that must
they
have been quite scatter. A debate that these people had, though, when the top floor was burning, and then they're like, "Well, should we let the bottom floor out? We could just like burn them all, though." And then
let's give it a second.
Yeah, let's just see. Let's just see what happens.
And because these people were criminally insane, the search party was extremely aggressive. Anytime they found one of the inmates, I mean, no questions asked, take no prisoners. Either beat them into submission or kill them on the spot.
Yeah,
well, that's fine. They should use a Bret Hart sharpshooter type technique. That would also probably work.
So they say that the psychic impact of this event, all the people burning to death, all the people in the woods being beaten to death or just straight out shot or stabbed, they say that because of this, a gateway to hell opened up.
It cool. sounds like the movie 13 Ghosts, kind of.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
Yeah,
that movie's great. So they say that there are seven barriers, which is great because someone did their homework and knew that seven was a very important biblical number.
No, this is a great story, yeah.
Yeah, so they say that there are seven barriers along the path to the former site of the asylum. Most people can't even locate the first one, but for those who manage to find the path, it is said that the sense of evil and overpower feelings of death will turn back even the bravest of explorers back by the fifth gate.
So where is this in New Jersey?
York.
If you're in York, New Jersey, go check it out and take pictures, please. Go walk the seventh path.
Absolutely. Because,
I believe it's in New Jersey. I'm not 100% sure.
New Jersey.
Yeah, but you can look it up. You can look it up.
There's hells of gates of hells everywhere.
Everywhere. This is a fucking I would say probably a worldwide phenomenon, but in America, it is definitely a huge phenomenon. Legends say that if one did manage to get past all seven gates, that they would be standing upon the burnt remains of the mental hospital, a bona fide passageway to hell itself.
And you get a card that gives you free peeps for life.
Isn't that nice? And then I wanted to be punny, and then you see Bill Gates, am I right? Because he's safe. He's the devil there. But he actually has a good foundation, so it doesn't work.
He made the condom thing.
He made the condom thing. Yeah. Gates of hell.
Yeah,
Henry's butt. Henry's butthole.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben.
Look, I can't believe it took us that long.
Yeah. Cram it in her homeroom.
So there's one more to call. It's kind of a gate to hell. It's called Gross Point's Devil's Mill. It is said that there was
just
a sibling rivalry.
There.
Don't go there. There's a sibling rivalry, and when the girl died, she said that she would rather sell her part to Satan rather than give it to the brother. And as if to seal her pact, the mill was cloven in two at the moment of her death by lightning and then burnt to the ground. And it's said that the distraught brother saw Satan himself hoofing a French quadrille amid the flames.
Yeah. Ooh, that's great.
What's a French quadrille?
Like maybe a jig, I think. A little
What's
dance.
A jig? Oh, yeah.
It's not a donut.
Yeah,
there you go.
You can't really see what we're doing.
No, that's why I was wondering why we were doing it in the first place. But speaking of Satan, can we talk about that car real quick?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, which car?
The Volga.
Oh.
Ooh, the Volga's really cool, too.
You wonder what does Satan drive? Yeah. It's a 1960 black Volga.
And it's because it has a bad transmission.
That's right.
No power windows. The heat doesn't work.
Cassette
player.
Yeah.
It's a bad car.
The devil, he doesn't need a good transmission, but he needs the heat. The heat has to work in the devil's car. I mean, come on.
Well, when the devil's in Poland, he drives the black Volga.
That's right.
And it's said that the black Volga...
When isn't the devil in Poland? Does he ever leave Poland? I'm really certain he's there right now.
So it's said that the Black Volga was driven by high-ranking Soviet officials who kidnapped young and pretty girls for sexual pleasures of the highest-ranking Soviet comrades.
Again, this is in Poland, so
young
and pretty, it's subjective.
Hey, there's plenty of hot Polish girls out there.
That was a 55-year-old lunch lady
it's
we just
thing
picked up.
Polish women and men. Polish women are incredibly attractive until about the age 42, and then they turn
42?
They turn into witch women.
I think you got that number
all right.
I would say before, but yeah.
There's another legend that says that either it's driven by vampires, mysterious priests, body vendors, and in fact, some say that children are kidnapped so they can drain their healthy blood to be given to rich leukemia sufferers.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing, the leukemia sufferers. Yeah, I don't think there's any really evidence that that works.
No, it doesn't work. You can't just switch out someone's blood. This isn't fucking 1532 where you can just drain out the humors and be
that's what
healthy
it is.
Again.
It's a demon in his brain.
yes.
And it's said that sometimes even Satan himself drove the Black Volga.
The Black Volga.
God, I'm driving here.
The road rage on Satan.
The traffic on this 405 is killing me. What has a guy got to do to get a good classic rock station? Am I right?
And Satan loves his classic rock.
And I better go rape that fucking rapist over there.
Well, that's the thing. He would rape the rapist.
Yeah. And while we're in Poland, let's move on to the Dybbuk Box.
Ooh, yeah. The Dybbuk Box is
which
great.
Has its origins in Poland in the Holocaust.
It's that's like right. This. Did I tell you that for Christmas I got a weed box that was sanctioned by the Church of Satan?
Wow.
Yeah, I have this great weed box that it has a Baphomet symbol that the Church of Satan has a copyright on.
Oh, very
of course, they're not idiots.
You have to get permission from them to use a specific one.
Have you smoked the weed that you've placed in that box yet?
A day.
Every day. And do you feel like it has a different effect on your brain now that it's been...
No. I'm nothing. Still the same. Same old great me.
Ah, well. You know? Yeah. We'll change one day.
Yeah. Well, you may remember the Dybbuk Box from a movie that came out a couple years ago where, you know, bless his
heart. Modest Yahoo.
Bless his heart, Modest Yahoo.
Oh, no,
just
we
was
can't
in,
bring him. Never Modest Yahoo.
He was in over his head. He bit off more than he could chew. He was
bad.
What was the name of that guy?
That
what was that thing again?
The
what was
Possession.
The Possession.
Oh, yeah.
He really put in his all. But
I mean,
just
what
was,
else do you have to do besides putting on a costume and showing up in front of camera?
I mean, it's Modest
you didn't
guy
have to do
like,
anything else besides doesn't. That.
And yell a lot because, you know, it said that the Dybbuk is, you know, it's a possessing spirit. It's a restless soul. It's a Jewish demon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like in Catholic
it's always nervous.
Exorcisms, it's always nervous, always complaining about the heat.
You know, it's hot, though, so it's right. That's the thing. What Jewish people tend to complain about, I'm totally on board with.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, sure, yeah, and they hate spicy food. I don't know. And they're afraid of cats. They
sure.
can't be seen in mirrors. It's a hard thing to be.
Like a vampire confusion there.
Normally, it's what they said. It was a wine cabinet, which was basically contained a thing called a Dybbuk, which is a malicious ghost.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's like contained. And basically, the movie came from this apparent true story about a Dybbuk box that was sold on eBay.
Yes, that's right.
To a family. According to Manis's story, he bought the box at an estate sale in 2001. It belonged to a Holocaust survivor of Polish origin named Havela, who had escaped to Spain prior to her immigration to the United States. Havela purposely sealed a Dybbuk inside the box after it contacted her and her friends while performing a seance with a homemade oracle board. On opening the box, Manis found that it contained two 1920s pennies, a lock of blonde hair bound with cord, a lock of black-brown hair bound with cord, a small statue engraved with the Hebrew word shalom, one dried rosebud, a single candle holder with four octopus-shaped legs, and a small golden wine goblet, all items supposedly used in Jewish folklore to exorcise demons. Numerous owners of the box have reported that strange phenomena accompany it. In his story, Manis claimed that he experienced a series of horrific nightmares shared with other people while they were in possession of the box, or when they stayed at his home while he had it. His mother suffered a stroke on the same day he gave her the box as a birthday present, October 28th. Every owner of the box has reported that it smells of cat urine or jasmine flowers, and nightmares involving an old hag accompanying the box.
I'm going to just say, rarely do people debate, is that urine? Or is that jasmine?
I feel like
these are pretty.
But where you dog sit, that's where the whole house smells like potpourri over fucking stingy smell of dog.
Yeah,
see, cat urine. I think it belonged to an old cat lady for a long time.
Yeah,
and the cat's just pissed all over it all the
time. Right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So jasmine, you think is the scent that it's supposed
cat
to be?
I think jasmine is just what they use to try to cover the smell of cat urine.
Oh, okay.
Because
sure.
Once a cat pisses on something, that smell ain't never going away.
Yeah, it's a pee-pee box.
Yeah. Cat pissed on my drum set in college. From then on, we were known as the band that smelled like cat piss. I could never get it out.
What was the name of the band?
Hugs a Bunch Pedophile.
What was it?
Hugs a Bunch Pedophile.
Hugs a Bunch Pedophile, the band that smells like cat piss.
That was us.
That actually kind of works.
They have a mature sound. I'd love to hear that from Hugs a Bunch Pedophile.
I would love to see the review.
Sophisticated and Baroque. Hugs a Bunch Pedophile is offering subtle hints as to what the 2000s will bring to music.
We once wrote a song called Jungle Tour in which there was a robot that was programmed to feed homeless people, but there was a malfunction, so we just fed them all sand until they died.
It's a good song.
I love it. And it was put inside the Dybbuk box.
Yes.
So apparently, Jason Haxton, director of the Museum of Osteopathic Medicine in Kirksville, Missouri, had been following all the blogs written about this Dybbuk box, and he bought it. He wrote this book called The Dybbuk Box and claimed that he subsequently developed strange health problems, including hives, coughing up blood, and head-to-toe welts. Mm. His wife experienced bloody, weeping blisters after coming in contact with clothing he wore during a failed containment attempt. His office also experienced the bursting of light bulbs. Upon removal of the box from the museum, Haxton had locked the box in the back of his truck, parking at his home in the evening. Haxton experienced nightmares of hag-like women, not unlike Manus's claims. The final straw, Haxton claims, happened while he and his son were watching television, and his son noticed a black flame-like mass in the room with them.
Cool.
Haxton consulted with rabbis to try to figure out a way to seal the Dybbuk on the box again. Apparently successful, he took this freshly resealed box and hid it at a secret location, which he will not reveal.
Will not reveal.
So that's probably around somewhere.
Yeah, we got to go dig it up. We got to find the Dybbuk box.
It's around somewhere, but I just want one. If you got one, send one to me.
I mean, is there only one?
Yes, into this story.
Oh, okay, but there's multiple Dybbuk box.
Mm-hmm. A Dybbuk box is a thing that you can do.
But this is
there's hundreds of them.
This Dybbuk box is the one that, like, there is a definite urban legend surrounding it. It's a very recent one, too.
I wish we could find the original eBay listing for it. Let's see if we can find it, and I'll put it up on the Facebook.
I'm sure there's some...
If anybody can find it, put it up.
Yeah,
There are a bunch of haunted things on eBay, if you ever Google that. They're all around, so purchase them.
Hell yeah. So we want to read... So another great thing about the internet...
With the internet and urban legends, you know, they started way back in the day, and they would just be stories, and then eventually we learned how to write, and then there were written stories. And with the internet now, we have a whole brand new version of urban legends, which is really pretty exciting
stuff. Yeah, absolutely. And now through the email, which is perfect. And I feel like a lot of it, because we talk about it, is that, like, I know that if my grandparents were still around and could have access to the internet, they get caught into how many fucking different scams?
Because
the things
so
just
many.
Show up on your email and sound really official and really scary, you respond immediately. And so now we're going to read some famous chain emails that went around in the early 2000s or like late 1990s. And like, if you'll see, tell me if you remember them.
Yeah.
Much like,
and much as people were scammed in the by Jordan Belfort there, the Wolf of Wall Street character. If anybody calls, check it out now. If anybody calls you randomly and you don't know them, or someone sends you an email, hang up and delete the fucking email. There are a lot of victims, and sometimes it feels difficult to have sympathy for them because what are they doing?
Yeah,
who's hitting reply on the Nigerian uncle scam?
But morons, somebody is. Morons with no money. All right, so you want to start with the first of our tales?
Sure. Let's start with this one. This one supposedly came from... This is great because it looks very official.
Yes, it does.
United States Federal Bureau of Investigations Director Louis J. Free. And then it gives the headquarters of the FBI, gives the telephone number, and then it begins. Action! The agency has become aware of a group of gypsies operating in the southeast. These gypsies are in the employ of the Chinese Communist Party. They are responsible for up to 70 cases of testicle mutilation.
Whoa!
Result! The Bureau's investigation into this matter has developed the following profile. Any male traveling alone in the southeast is at risk. Do not attempt to take unknown women of Turkish descent to your room.
Yikes.
Do not attempt to engage
you
any
tell
type
them
they're of
Turkish
sex.
If they got belly hair.
Do not attempt to engage any type of sexual behavior with unknown Turkish women. Case. These women are responsible for over 70 testicle mutilation cases. They are all very intelligent and should be considered armed and dangerous. By the use of their female attributes, they lure men into positions of seclusion.
Ooh.
At this point, they will drug, then remove the testicles of the unsuspecting men. Our investigation has determined that Caucasian, Black, and Hispanic testicles are being sold in China as a form of aphrodisiac.
Whoa.
No one has lost his life in this way. The serious loss of blood is dangerous, but should not lead to death. If you think you have been a victim of this crime, please contact your nearest FBI field office.
I don't know if the word think needs to be in that sentence. You know, right?
How many calls you're going to get and just being like, my balls are cut off.
Now, are you sure? Have you checked around?
Let me check. No, they're still there.
Okay. You must have sat on them and they went numb.
Well, yeah. I know my balls got cut off, but I don't know if she was Turkish.
Huh? Well,
We can do nothing for you.
We can't help you at all.
This is the anti-gypsy department you've called.
All right. Well, I'll try to read this one here. This one's called Rock Hard Ab. It's a foreword. Please read. Scary. Okay. So state police warning. Warning, state police. Do not ignore. This is very serious. So please repost. State police warning for online. Please read this very carefully. Then send it out to all the people online that you know. Something like this is nothing to be taken casually. This is something you do want to pay attention to. I think we fucking got it.
Yeah.
If a person with the screen name of Rock Hard Abs or goes by his name Jason Stallings contacts you, do not reply. Do not talk to this person. Do not answer any of his instant messages or emails. Whoever this person may be, he is a suspect for murder in the death of three women so far. He might still get there. Contacted through the internet. He's killing these chicks through the internet. He's a suspect in a shooting and is known for raping and beating young women. He is located in the mid-Michigan area. Please.
So Jason Stallings. We're looking for you.
We're going to find you, Jason. Please send this email to all women on your buddy list and ask them to pass this on as well. This screen name was seen on Yahoo and AOL so far, so he is up to date. AOL and Yahoo.
This one's from like 99.
This is not a joke. Please send this to men too, just in case he turns like gay or something. I don't know. Is there any serial killer in history who started with women and went to men?
Yep.
Sexual? Okay.
Nope.
All right. But just in case, you know, send to everyone. Ladies, this is serious. Over the years, these messages have been named in several different men who allegedly murdered women. They contacted on the internet Slave Master, Sweet Cali Guy Forever, Joker Kid 613, Jason Money, and Jason the S is a money sign.
Uh-huh.
And now Rock Hard Abs / Jason Stallings.
That's a boring screen name. Just Jason Stallings. That's boring.
Jason Stallings. So that's pretty much the gist of this one. Only in this case, Slave Master's real name was Johnny Robertson.
Yeah, this does have a little bit of truth to it. But it was 99, actually. The guy, Johnny Robinson, was charged in 2000 with the murders of five women being done in this way. But this, of course, this email didn't start until 2001, something like that.
It probably does make... I'm sure that there are some serial killers who have found women.
No, this is one I remember receiving. I received this one called Spunkball. Date, Tuesday, February 01, 2000. Subject, Spunkball Warning. Spunkball Warning. I just wanted to warn all of my friends about something that has been occurring more and more lately all throughout the country. Groups of teenagers have been caught in alarming numbers playing a new and dangerous game called Spunkball. Spunkball consists of a group of teens at a car pulling up to a stoplight and looking around for a car stopped nearby with an open window. When one is spotted, the teens shout Spunkball!
Spunkball!
Spunkball! And throw a gasoline-soaked rag that has been wrapped in aluminum foil through the open window, which they spell through wrong.
There's a lot of errors in these.
On the outside of the foil is attached a small firecracker with a fuse lit. When the firecracker explodes, it shreds the foil and the rag is ignited, causing a large flame that may catch the interior of the car on fire. Spunkball playing has already claimed two lives, caused uncountable injuries due to burns, and caused thousands of dollars in damage to automobiles. The best defense, say authorities, is to keep all windows rolled up when stopped at traffic lights. Almost only cars with windows down are being targeted. If you are at a red light and hear a out of Spunkball and notice something coming flying in your window, the best thing to do is have all passengers immediately exit the vehicle. Do not try to retrieve the object.
Do not eat the Spunkball.
It will ignite once the firecracker explodes. Please pass this on to everyone you care about.
I would say, though, if you see a 1960 black Volga, Spunkball, throw it in there. That's Satan.
I just feel like I would still do that every once in a while. Just two cars with open windows going, Spunkball! And like watch people roll up the windows.
That would be funny. And just throw like a wet rag that's just water.
Yeah, it's covered in my fucking semen.
Actual semen. I mean, it could very well be a semen thing. But those are some very fun urban legends.
Yeah, and this one is a lot like a ton of urban like emails that involve cars. You have the one where if you flash your headlight,
that's a true one.
I mean, they say that's true, but I don't think it's true.
There's the one about the MS-13 is they'll bump your car, and once you get out to inspect the damage, they'll shoot you.
Yeah. I mean, but this happens all the time. There was just that Venezuelan, I believe.
You're being racist?
No, I'm not being racist. She was a beauty contestant, and they took out the car with spikes. And then they shot them both and took their money.
Well, that's just a standard thing. It was a Caracas, like a gang initiation.
Well, yeah, the urban legend is that it's a gang initiation, when in reality, it's just full-on fucking robbery.
Yeah, it's just robbery. Yeah. And the other is all a
urban legend I used to hear when I was a kid was the story of a seeing a woman on Halloween day of a guy, a machete killer, chopping off the arms of a woman, and a woman being found armless on the side of the street. And I remember that being always talked about when I was a kid.
You know, that's so funny. My favorite urban legend when I was a kid, I fucking heard this story so many goddamn times. Jesus of Nazareth. There was this.
It's so crazy. Long, I remember that same story.
This story,
yeah,
man.
We had one of those in Texas.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Fish was involved.
And they nailed him to this thing.
But he didn't die. He didn't die like a demon.
He died, but then he came back as a fucking ghost. God,
he still walks the earth to this day.
Unbelievable.
You got to use a silver bullet.
Oh, that's how you take him out.
That's what it is.
That sounds
shoot him in his
perfect
fucking wizard face.
And whatever you do, don't be left alone in a room with Jesus, because he will molest you.
He will molest you. Oh, he's got those holes in his hands. He just shove your dick through it.
Oh, my goodness. Cram it in her homeroom.
Well, this was a fun episode.
There's
so many we didn't get to. The slit mouth woman.
We have a whole nother episode. We have so many of these things.
Well, we're going to be kind of continuing this in a couple weeks when we're going to be doing regional monsters.
Yeah. Yes. So also, again, if you have any monster like stories of your in your area, wherever you live, please send it to us. We'd love to read them on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. Yeah. Oh, what's that, Marcus?
Just can't wait to get to the donkey woman of San Antonio.
Me too. I can't wait. I'll tell you why, though.
And let's all respect each other on the Facebook page as well.
Respect each other. We're a loving community.
And this is a happy place.
And let's start putting some good scary shit on there. Enough of the memes.
Stop with the memes.
Oh, well.
There
are some funny ones.
There are some funny ones. But you post stuff that like contributes to the conversation.
They do. They're great.
A lot of people do. Yes. And a lot of people have been posting some very sweet stuff.
That's right.
People are awesome.
You know what? Mondays are ladies' days. So only ladies post on Mondays. That's what I like to say.
Whoa. You see the twinkle in his eyes.
Ladies' days. Marcus, you don't like the idea? Monday Lady Day?
Why are you yelling at me? Henry was the one that was audibly saying
that
he didn't
like it.
Well,
Monday is now Lady Day, so that's fine.
Well, let's not say that only ladies can post. Let's say that ladies are encouraged to post.
Well, ladies are always encouraged to post.
Extra encouraged to post on Monday.
This is an off-air fight that we're having on air, by the way.
Thank you guys so much.
Yes.
We'll see you next week. Hail Saint.
Yes, that's right. When's our next live show?
The 28th of 27th of January.
Yeah, yeah. The last Sunday of the month.
Saturday.
Last Saturday, excuse me. That's last Saturday of the month.
All right, everybody. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. Hail me.
Hail Gene.
And of course, hail yourselves.
And then it goes to the
Oh, that's not bad.
You piggies.
What?